And we're all here. Right. It is 7:02, Wednesday, April 26, 2023. I'd like to welcome you all to this meeting of the mayor and council of the township of Clinton. Madam Clerk, have we met all the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act? Thank you much. If you all in the audience, please join me for a salute to the flag.
For the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Councilman Blazer.
Here.
Councilman Cosmaski.
Here. Here.
Here. Thank you much. We will now proceed to our first public comment session. This is a public comment session for items that are listed on the agenda. Is there anybody who'd like to come and comment about any of the items that are listed on the agenda? Please do so now.
The 5 minutes to hear?
Yes, please. And remind me how we're doing this. No address? Do we want a name or no name?
First
name. Name and municipality.
Sure. My name is Matthew Ludinsky, Clinton Township resident. First, I want to just thank the mayor. I emailed back and forth with him about the special events legislation. I saw it online and was just kind of concerned about where this was going and what it meant for our residents and our businesses here in the town. But I do want to thank the mayor, first of all, for his timely response. I'm concerned about the fee, $100 fee. I thought that, I know other towns do it. I know Reddington and I think the town of Clinton charges a $100 fee. But I thought that's kind of a heavy burden on some maybe small businesses if they have to pay this fee, especially if the event was rained out or canceled. That's a pretty big thing. My other concern was, how is this going to apply to,
That's right. Oh, I'm sorry. Right. So we're going to stop you. So this is actually a public, this is the subject of a public hearing.
Okay.
So we're going to have you come back during the public hearing.
Yep.
Correct. So I
thought this was the public hearing for the order.
I apologize.
So no. Okay, that's for later.
Yep. No. It is tonight, sir. It's this evening.
It's just a few minutes.
Like 5 minutes. Yeah. Sorry about that. Thank you, Trishka, for the catch. Any other comments on items that aren't for a public hearing this evening? Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to the Board of Health items. So we will adjourn as the council and convene as the Board of Health. And the first Board of Health application for a waiver is going to be Block 30, Lot 40, 332 Old Allerton Road. We have somebody here for that.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm Joe Mazaleski. I'm an engineer with the firm of Benelli Consulting Engineers. I was instrumental in the preparation of this plan. It's an existing dwelling, three-bedroom dwelling, basically located, if you're coming from Annandale and you cross under 78, it's the first driveway on the left. And you go back in there, it's an old house, it's been there, you know, before they built 78.
Mm-hmm.
It backs up to the 78 right-of-way, and it's a very small lot. And the owner is preparing to sell, and he figured before he puts it on the market, he wants to get a conformance septic on there. And we went out, did testing, did the best we could with what we had out there. I mean, the test worked out. We did a fit bail test. The rate was good. But the problem is there's really one spot to locate it, and that's in the side yard between the Beaver Creek, Beaver Brook, and Route 78. It's the only relatively lawn area that's there. And we were able to, by using advanced wastewater treatment device and pressure dosing, we were able to minimize the footprint of the bed as small as we could. And trying to honor the setback from the property line, the northeasterly property line at 10 feet, and the northerly property line, which would be the right-of-way of 78 at 10 feet. We ended up with needing two waivers, one being the distance from the dwelling to the bed, which is normally would be 25 feet, where we could only get 17, about a little over 17 and a half. And the other one is the standard from a water course, which is 50 feet typically. We were only to get about 30 and a half feet. But we were able to honor NJDEP's setback from a repairing zone of 25 feet from the top of the bank, so that's good. In any event, we were able to pretty much keep it at grade, so, because the entire property is within the flood hazard area. Not the floodway, but the flood hazard area. And so it's a permit by rule, basically, that they can replace the septic within the flood hazard area, as long as it wasn't creating a mound. So we were able to accomplish that. And so we're here tonight asking for those two waivers from the board. And we have a letter from the Hunterdon County Health Department that indicates that same. So.
Also stipulating some conditions, as I understand it, for that mover. If I read it correctly, you require the maintenance contract.
Well, that's not a condition. I mean, that is a standard requirement.
Okay.
Of the,
that comes along
the state regulations with the advanced
maintenance. Understood. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They will need to have a perpetual. Actually, there's a deed notice that goes with that.
Mm-hmm. And the auto dialer.
Maintain a maintenance agreement for that.
And the auto dialer dials out to.
Dials out to the provider that's providing the service.
Got it.
And in fact, when it gets installed, they make the design engineer certify that the dialer is installed.
Right. Do we have any questions?
No, I think you explained everything that I was going to ask about.
Or the Board of Health.
Yeah.
All right. In that case, may I have a motion? And
I'll make the motion
in favor of that waiver.
And I'll second what two waivers.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Boyd?
Yes.
Councilman
Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Council President
Strauss? Yes. Yes. Thank you very much, sir. Without further ado, we'll move to Block 16, Lot 40, 24 Old Mountain Road, and I think I see the next victim.
Next victim is here. My name is Doug Fine from Fine Engineering. I designed the septic system at 24 Old Mountain Road. It is an existing three-bedroom dwelling, and I believe it had an existing old tank and a lateral out in the front of the property. We performed soil logs, permeability testing. Everything's satisfactory. We've got a distance to the well issue in this case. Part of what kept us, it is a mounted system in the front yard. We're on the back side of Round Valley on Old Mountain, so we're on the upper side. So everything we've done and mounted that septic, it's rating back down towards the road, which kept me from pushing it all the way to the road because I ran out of area to grade. So here asking for a setback waiver because we are 74 feet from the existing well. I will let the board know that one of the stipulations that the county likes to impart on us is the installation of an ultraviolet light to make sure that if any bacteria, I'm going to put on record that there's an existing ultraviolet light that was installed as part of the sale of this home. So we've already got a water test that shows that we have no coliform. So I would anticipate anything we do moving forward would be an improvement on what we have. We're going to be putting
the current system is malfunctioning.
The current system is malfunctioning. The current system is 62 feet from the well.
Cool.
We're going to 74. So we're making an improvement.
Right. Okay. With a new and better functioning system, no less.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Does the well have a casing?
The well does not. I actually talked to Ed Del Carlo from DNL. He's been maintaining those systems over the years. It's an original.
Okay.
It's not even a submersible pump. It's a jet pump in the house.
No well casing? Short.
It's short. He said there's no way it's fit, just from his experience, and he said it didn't make sense for him to open it up and measure it and have to chlorinate it and switch the pump from a jet pump to a submersible, all to know, based on his experience, he knows they do not have 50 feet of casing. So that will probably be the homeowner's next upgrade when that pump goes. They'll be upgrading to a submersible, and they'll have to change the wellhead and modernize it. But right now, it doesn't exist.
How would a homeowner know if the UV light failed?
Actually, there's an alarm on those. They light up, but if that bulb fails, it emits a different light, and I believe it sounds a small round.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just sort of wondering.
Mine has a little light. You know, like a little,
okay.
You're not supposed to look into it. But
right. There's a little. There's like an eye on it. That
yeah, so
it's
obvious they need to do something. That it's on the homeowner to do that. It's not like the deed restriction stuff and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's just
typically change it on your every year.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a maintenance item for a homeowner.
Correct. Relatively simple. We tell people just to change the bulbs annually. Don't wait for there to be a problem. Just swap
right.
it out.
Right. Well,
I only know this because I'm good.
There you go.
In that case, I'll make the motion.
Very good. For the light, if it's already there.
I have a second.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Kreiser?
Yes.
Councilman Kosinowski?
Yes.
President Strauss?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You as well. All right. We will now consider the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the Township Mayor and Council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will not be separate discussion of these items unless requested by the Mayor, a Council member, or a citizen, in which event the item will be removed from the general order of business and considered in its normal sequence on the agenda. Are there any items members of Council wish to remove? Is there any item that the public might wish to remove? No comments. I only have to just note for the record I submitted some typographical corrections on the minutes.
And Tom has to abstain from November 19th.
And I abstain, so I think the 21st, right?
So with those noted abstentions, may I have a motion for the consent?
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Councilman
yes.
Councilman
yes.
President Strauss.
Yes.
Yes. Given that there are some folks here for public hearing, I'm going to suggest that we skip reports for now. Come back to it right after the public hearing.
Yeah.
So we'll begin with the first one, which is an ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank. For NJSA 48:4-45.14 for the calendar year 2023. This is an ordinance that we do typically every year. It allows us to really roll over any unused cap from this year to next. And to
we feel it was negligent if you didn't.
Right.
Yes.
Correct. Yep. So without any further ado, I'll open the public hearing. Are there any members of the public who have comments, questions on this ordinance? Seeing no movement, we'll close the public hearing. And may I ask for any comments, discussion on the part of council?
I'm jumping down the table right now. This will be how it's very good. Housekeeping, I suppose it's something we do every year. We should continue to do every year.
That case, may I have a motion?
So moved.
I got a motion. I'll get taken up to the market. All right, thank you. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Now we'll do a public hearing for an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending Part 2 general legislation of the Code of the Township of Clinton to establish permitting and other requirements for special events. I'm going to just go right into the public hearing. I'll open it up. Mr. Kadinsky, if you'd like to come make your comments, we'll get along the record.
Sure. It's LIDINSKY. And it's Matthew, MATTHEW. Again, thank you for the mayor, again, for your email response that I spoke about earlier. I just was curious, and I don't know if you guys can comment on it now today, but the fee of $100, I know other towns do it, but why did we pick $100? My other concern, too, is especially for, like, some of, I know there's the exemption in the, what you have here, for nonprofits to be a 50% reduction. But I'm just thinking about some local nonprofits, they give so much back to our community, and then we're gonna still charge them $50 to do a special event if it's doing a flower sale or doing some kind of car wash or fundraiser. I know the school's exempt and things like that, but other nonprofits, like maybe the Rotary or the Kiwanis Club or something like that. So I think that's something that should be considered about that. I just think, especially for a nonprofit, sometimes their margins on making any money, especially to get back, 50 bucks is 50 bucks, and if we can go back into our community, I think it's better served for all of us to go back to our community members. I'm also curious, some of the language was kind of confusing to me about it, but is something like this going to apply to cruise nights? Is it like, you know, if a restaurant has cruise nights and they have a local car club, are they going to have to be subject to this? I see the mayor's nodding his head.
I don't believe that would be the case.
Okay. I don't know where this is going, or
introduction, if it's like a normal part of their business, it doesn't apply. It's not an event per se. I think that's how we put it.
Yeah.
Just looking.
Yeah, I mean,
and while Trisha is looking, as far as regards the fees, the intent is to try to strike a balance to ensure that we recoup some of the administrative costs of ensuring that the events go off safely and securely and don't negatively impact surrounding properties and what have you.
Right. I mean, I just think the fee like that is really a tax on our local, you know, residents and things like that, and you may see differently, but that's my opinion. I should voice it.
It's not invalid.
Yeah.
And that was part of the conversation.
I hear you, but it's also a usage fee because they're using taxpayer resources different than everyone. So it's like, you know, it's meant to be somewhat de minimis. It's not free, because free would mean anyone could do it, and that means every taxpayer is paying for it. This is something that they want to do special and extra, so I don't think it's a tax per se. That's just my perception.
Okay, I really, mm-hmm. you know, I think especially like if some local nonprofit wants to host a car wash or do some kind of fundraiser event that's a one-off, I just think it's rough on them. And now you're saying, I know we're looking at the normal course of business, but like I was thinking like their local restaurants, like Harper's, they did like a movie night during COVID, and I know that's not their normal business, but is that something that they decide to do that again? Are they going to be paying $100 to do this? I just worried about how this is going to affect our local businesses. Some of these restaurants barely survive here as it is. I don't own a restaurant. I would never want to own one, but yeah. That's what I'm really concerned about. I just think something like this could really stifle it. I also saw, the thing that immediately caught my eye was our community association, not really HOA, but our community association always does a block party every year. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we close the whole street down or anything. It's at the end of a cul-de-sac. It doesn't affect anything. But, you know, stuff like that, the way I read this, we're going to have a, you know, like people just move it to someone's yard. But I think something like that, technically if we had it in the street, it would have to be $100.
No, it's $50. We specifically.
For homeowners? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think that. Yeah. Something like that has never affected the police have never had to come or do anything. It's never been a hassle. I'm concerned of where this is going. And then I think the intention's good of the council, but I'm worried that in the future that this thing could be used in other ways. And that's.
Yeah, and I'll just say that the intent really was there are certain events that have been occurring that would normally be not permitted. And the alternative for those events would be for them to go get a variance, which is really expensive, really time-consuming, and it's a balance of ensuring that folks can have events in a safe way.
That's,
right.
That have and I understand
the bicycle view and right and just make sure that everything's going properly, as opposed to having to go through maybe a variance process that's going to cost a fortune.
What kind of events are being issued? I know you may not be able to name the specific, but is there something that's been a concern?
There are certain events that have been occurring in residential areas.
Okay.
That aren't, right. Yeah, not block parties. Correct. They're not, so block parties, so for example,
right.
Block parties, invitation only.
Right.
Right.
So right.
That's,
okay.
Yeah.
I think what part of this is trying to do is also just resolve,
right.
Okay.
With parameters.
So with
ground rules, it makes clear what is allowed as opposed to the
individual. Okay.
And just on the fees, we had an extensive discussion. We had it on the agenda for discussion or introduction prior to the meeting we actually introduced it. We had a very
like a workout discussion.
Yeah, about the impact, especially on nonprofits and block parties. So that's why we carved those out. Because I really block parties that have been occurring for years and charity events, so for example, Immaculate Conception.
Right.
But there is also quite a bit of
police involvement in that, right, and reviewing and making sure that it's
and
not
going
to block traffic.
Goes all the way down.
And this allows us to put some rabbits around notification of the public safety officials and all that. So it gives us
almost sort of registry, because that's not what it's meant to be. But these larger events, it's important that they're properly noticed, so that the police and fire department have to know what's going on, if they're going to block roads, if they need, public services of some sort.
And fair to say that if we encounter issues, we can always address and revise.
Yeah, this was my concern. I was really worried about this. Sure. In fact, my family's involved in the Kiwanis Club, and I just thought of them when they do an event. And shelling out $50, if the event doesn't happen, it stinks if it gets rained out or something. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate for those kind of clubs.
I mean, if there was a rain out, they didn't rain date, would there be a second fee, or would they get a credit for pushing it forward?
We didn't think about that, I don't think.
Yeah, the ordinance is silent on that. Really, the fee is covered the administrative costs of the review.
Yeah, so.
And so if you've already gone through that whole process, and all you're doing is changing the fees.
Candidly, we would be treating it with the carryover of the review.
Yeah.
And there would be I can see no reason for any additional charge.
Yeah.
Okay. The event that was rained out.
That sounds reasonable.
And
I'm just concerned about this thing.
Yeah, of course.
That is a fair point.
But you could have things like the fire marshal have to go to review certain events to make sure fireworks are being displayed. That kind of thing. We have some other costs of construction officials, depending on if there's any structures being built at some of these events. Sometimes you have to have those things done as well. So the police are the primary, but you do have some other departmental services from a public safety standpoint that also have to weigh in on different elements depending on the nature of the event. Most of it would not, but some that would.
That's all I have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other members of the public who might wish to make a comment on this particular ordinance? All right. Seeing no movement, I'll close the public hearing. Any discussion on party council?
Which rotation is something we'll consider as a maybe we say we can review this in a year and see how it's worked.
Absolutely.
If it hasn't worked or it's had an unintended consequence, we can trust those.
Well, that's true. We will know from the administrator that, in these events, it's not quite doing what you intended. That's fine.
That's perfect.
Cool. I think it's like anyone. You're going to do, based on experience, you're going to evaluate its application and implementation. And, if there are things that happen over the course of a 6 month or a year that you identify as being items that you would wish to change or modify to some degree,
perfect,
you could eliminate, you could add to. Again, it'll evolve over time with your experience here in the community.
I
would
say the ordinance is a living document. It's a change, and then as we know, even as we increase, you're always reviewing your fees, on a periodic basis.
You mentioned.
So
we're meant to do so, I did. And I do think that one thing that we've done that's, I hope, going to work out well, we'll see. Other than the towns that neighbor us have those applications come before the governing body, council, which takes time. And if you have a short schedule like this, you don't have enough time to react. Ours is more administrative. Refers to the chief of police and the administrative offices.
We talk about that extensively and say that we're not sure council's approval adds value to a process. It's quicker and for the administrative staff to handle this. I'm not going to get into that public safety. It's valuable.
All right. Anybody wish to make a motion?
Public motion.
Second.
And that's in favor of that.
Okay, yeah.
Check it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right. We'll now move to the 2023 municipal budget public hearing. Just before I open it to public comment, I'm just going to give the highlights. We'll start with revenues. This year, we've done a couple different things. You'll see that there's a little bit of an increase in certain expenditures, but they're offset by revenues because we're reflecting them differently in this year's budget. So it's just really a more open and correct way of capturing those expenditures and those revenues, so it's really transparent, because it hadn't been prior. It was charged, the labor was charged to the account and then backfilled by the funds from the shared services they would come in. So those are all reflected in shared service agreements. So there's about $333,000 of increase to both revenue and expenditure for those. We experienced quite a decrease in grants, obviously, from the final adjusted budget for last year, a reduction of about $1.6 million due to the ARPA money, not to be unexpected. We did increase our surplus, which is good and very much necessary, so that's a good thing, and we're using a little bit more this year. On the appropriations expenditure front, total budget appropriations from last year's approved budget to this year's approved budget decreased, the total appropriations decreased 5%. If you exclude the ARP money and the shared services increase, the change is less than 1%. So it's a really de minimis change in how we're spending money. Some of the key impacts on our appropriations this year, I mentioned the school safety shared services. We had an increase in insurances, all the insurance, including health benefits. That went up $259,000. For point of reference, Ms. CFO, the levy cap would be about how much in raw dollars for this year? Not the levy cap, but the appropriations cap.
In terms of the percent, the levy cap is, the levy is capped at 2% per statute. Your appropriations, the levy cap is 2.5%. Unless you amend it with your index rate to get tonight. That's what the bill could be.
The math I had in my notes was it was an addition submitted. I don't remember. I got my notes wrong, but that seems high in this idea.
But $259,000 represents a significant chunk of that increase in the appropriations cap. We also had an increase in pension and Social Security, $74,000. We have some increase in police salaries. We're adding some staff, so there's some increase there. Also contract year, so that's $238,000. One of the things we've done is we've moved some money from debt service to straight-up capital, so that was a large increase. That's going to allow us to take care of some more of the roads that we need to take care of, some equipment for public works, fire department, et cetera, much needed, so that's another $848,000. And then we had some increases in gasoline, $40,000. So gasoline went up. Obviously, that's not a shock, especially what we saw last year. Last year was even higher, I think. And an increase in the public works salaries. That's just contractual. For capital this year, we're planning to, it's not going to be on for this evening's agenda, but the next agenda, we did receive bids back for Petticoat Lane. They came in pretty well, around $625,000, something around there. So a little bit under the estimate from the engineer. That's going to be really good for us. We'll do a reconstruction then with that from Route 22 to East Main Street, and then using capital money, we'll do from East Main Street up to Haytown Road, that'll be Millen Bay. So Petticoat should be looking great by the end of the year. We'll do hopefully Allerton Road and Valley Crest Roads as well. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do some work for public works. We're gonna do some fire department needs turnout gear. That'll be in. And then we've got one police vehicle moving through. So that's a look at all of that. Net debt, again, we've reduced over the last 5 years, we've reduced our debt by a total of $9.5 million, give or take. So we've made a lot of progress on that, which is helping our debt service. And then the increase this year on the levy is about 5.8% and about a little over $100 on the average $400,000. So that's the high level on the budget. I don't know if the finance committee wishes to weigh in on it at all.
All the highlights.
Yep.
And guess I'd weigh in saying that I think it's a very responsible budget. And I think, as you said, the brokerage increase is actually pretty small.
Yeah.
So we've been able to offset a lot of things. The debt service rolling off is a big help, of course. It's part of, I think, our journey to being a good, responsible municipality, building a surplus up to give us the cushion we need for just by our size, moving away from debt financed operations. The capital increase, I think, is very important. I have 1.3 million in capital. Some roads, buy some long overdue equipment, I would say. And yeah, I'm not happy with the 5.85% increase, but I think it's what we need to do responsibly for the township. And again, this is on 17% of our taxes in our tax bill. The least portion is much smaller than the full amount.
Yeah, 16% without
different status, right? Yeah, so 16%.
And then we'd like to refer you to the down, each dollar of tax you pay to the county, and 16 cents of that
goes
to municipal services and programs. I think that's a very responsible and realistic return on
and
tax investment given the services provided.
If I may, I'll return to the health benefits and the insurance.
Yeah.
That increase was unexpected and was really, really hamstrung us. I thought we were going to have a really good budget this year, and that set us back. But I am looking forward to, and I'll have some conversation with the administrator. I had some conversations just this week with some folks about some ways that we may be able to look at that for the coming year. Not this year, probably, but next year. So, more to come.
Right. So, it's on the average house, $107 area. Right? Yeah. So, that $89 a month.
From the standpoint of how much the increase will
achieve,
I think that's I think that's a reasonable number given you lost almost $900,000 in total grants. Your adjustment revenue, as you were saying, yeah, significant adjustments in the grants loss of revenue. The budget went from 59.8 to 15.7. So your budget's actually down this year in terms of the total expenditure. Your total assessed values are down slightly as well. Your grant revenue, assessed values are down. The slight increase, really given those factors in and of themselves, I think is to be expected.
And I would say, just for the record, I do benchmark us against our neighboring towns. I won't bore you if I look at them.
You don't have to name any individual.
I won't at all, but we are...
I'd rather listen.
I would argue competitive against all of those towns versus Rickers. No, it's apples to oranges in some cases. Yeah. Different services provided. So there's a lot. That's why I won't name towns. But when I look at the rates we pay and I consider the services that are that we receive as taxpayers, I feel okay about that. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our own police force in Dallas Dallas, and we can handle certain expenses they don't.
I believe they're responsible and include financial budget on behalf of the
community.
Now, in interest of full transparency, before we open the public comment, there is an item on the agenda for essentially an amendment to the budget. It's a minor technical amendment because we had some changes. So the top line's going to stay the same.
Sure. Effectively, I'll let Christine see it, comment and see if I'm talking about that. But essentially, the statement is that in all budget documents are submitted to their review and approval before you can introduce. In this case, they asked us to make certain adjustments relative to inside and outside the capital. I think they're reflected. Your total really is the same. Essentially, what you're doing is just showing where the dollar values are reflected in terms of the inside and outside the cap.
Not
the items that are defined by the state in terms of where we can reflect certain things.
Not changing how we're operating,
right.
Or
this all those additions, subtractions.
Right.
Again, it's kind of very technical, I know.
It is very technical. I consider it more to be housekeeping items. State asks us to do in terms
right.
of the document we submit to them. It really doesn't change any of your operations, the minimus, and the advertised amendment, if that's how the minimus it is.
And it, because of the way we operate with the caps, it didn't change our outcome, so that's the main thing.
I think that's correct. Christine, can I just identify for the council system?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So within inside outside the tax, if they let us put some funds outside the tax this year, because of the major increases, and when the calculation is going to move it, so it's a little too much outside the tax, one is our pension. And so I had to move that back in. So this plus line adjustment, the bottom line of the overall budget remaining the same, there's no change in how it was introduced to this certain line item.
Some move from within the cap.
Yeah.
Out. Yep.
Within the cap, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, it's only a $32,000
cost. Right. Okay. So I just want to have, we're talking about $32,000 impact.
I just wanted to be open and transparent because I don't want us to introduce adopt and then have everybody say, right. Why'd you just change it?
It's good. But on the $15.1 million budget, they had $32,000 of adjusted change if they wanted to change that.
All right. I will now open the public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment on the budget? People in the audience, there's nobody moving. In that case, I will close the public hearing.
I just have, is the chart, is this all right to ask your question?
Please go right ahead.
Just page 14, that for a second. It's under fire hydrant service. For 2022, it was $110,000, and this year it's $100,000. Just wondering what the decrease was. Usually, in the past year, it's gone up.
Sure, because the total amount of paid charge in 2022, when we get our, with the audit, they do the annual financial statement, the 15 in the audit, we were at $82,000. Mm-hmm. So we felt like, given where we were and what the anticipated amount was from the utility, that based on charges, we thought that reduction could handle that anticipated going through the year.
I think the answer is, if I can succinctly say it, it was conservatively budgeted in the fire versus what was actually spent.
Hmm. And certainly, given what we looked at the last couple of years, I think that is fair to say that we had enough room to take and make that adjustment, and it's still sufficient room in there that in the event there is an increase of any sort, the budget that's in there can still handle it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Without the need for a transfer.
You know, I'm still looking for an item myself.
Well, we'll keep trying.
Not a lot of
okay.
Well,
you
should try
to
get
in front of their town hall and ask
for that. Okay. Thank you. You're quite welcome.
Any other questions?
I will make a motion for the adoption of the budget.
And I will second it.
Oh, sure. We'll reopen the public hearing.
Yes, sir. I have to ask you again. Where is the budget posted?
It is on the website.
There's
also, so there's a budget document.
Right.
All the financial documents are posted there.
Right. Okay.
And there's also, there will be a user-friendly budget that's posted. There's the budget document that Council President Strauss referenced, and there's also a presentation.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, and the presentation will give you pie charts and tell you how much of your taxes go where and all that fun stuff.
Thank you.
In that case, I'll close the public hearing again.
Make a motion to adopt the budget.
And I'll second.
Roll call.
Councilman
Whitaker. Yes.
Councilman
Strauss.
Yes.
Councilman
Yes, with kudos for our financial committee.
I even said yes. I didn't hear you ask me. He was saying with kudos to the financial. So I think that crossed. So, and I said yes as well. All right, we're going to skip ahead very briefly, and we're going to take on item number 10, which is the resolution to amend the budget. And as we previously discussed, this is that $32,000 minor technical adjustment requested by the state. So I think it's the state's approved our way of processing this, so this should be.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, sir.
I'll second.
And we have a second. Roll call.
President
Yes.
President
Yes.
Council President
Yes. Yes. Now I'm making a mess of this agenda. We're going to go back to reports. Councilman Blazer.
All right. To be quick tonight. Planning Board, the regular meeting of the 16th was canceled due to lack of applications. We do have a meeting scheduled for next Monday. There are no new applications that I know of at this point. And assuming that the Highlands Center ordinance is successfully introduced tonight, that will be subject to a master plan consistency review and in normal business of the Planning Board and voucher rules. Sewer Authority had their monthly regular monthly meeting on Thursday the 6th. There's nothing I'd really highlight to council. I would mention that the bid package for the North Hudson Pump Station, which we know helps affordable housing, has been placed out. They hope that a local bid the end of the month and a big award at their May meeting, which will happen on May 4th. Finance Committee, I've got nothing new to report because we just did everything. And then Cannabis Subcommittee talked to another person perhaps interested in the township, and I said we may have a working session in the upcoming months, and once I had a date, I'll invite the parties that expressed interest to come talk if they're interested. Yeah. And so it's just a matter of the agenda management.
I'll pick a date, and we'll get it to you.
Okay. Yeah,
I think the 10th is going to be really heavy. The 24th may work.
It is funny. I said I didn't see it before the end of May. The earliest I couldn't even commit to that because we just have a lot of work.
There's a bunch on there. Yeah. Right.
All right.
All I have to report really is I'd like to recognize that one of the captains of the 100 Games Flint Township team is in the audience, Bill Onoshevsky, over there. He led our tug of war. And that competition has been set for August 26th.
Okay. Oh.
I hope that
August 26th.
August 6th. Indian Township. Same organizers.
I know what the rules are.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll try to get the rules.
If I could take a look at finance committee. I do want to again acknowledge the hard work of the administrator, the CF, and all the department heads on the budget. Big effort this year. Really good, clear outcome.
And a bottoms up budget.
Very well appreciated.
I'll let you echo Bill's comments. That's all I have to report.
Council President Sherman.
Thank you. I do not have any report from the Clinton Township Board of Ed. Historical Preservation Commission, the meeting is next Wednesday, the 3rd at 7 p.m. Public Safety, I know some of the reports for the speeding complaints were emailed out, and data was received back, all good stuff. I want to acknowledge the officers getting the 200 Club Award coming up, so that was good as well. So that ceremony will be next month as well. The mayor and I did meet with Chief Emery from the fire company in reference to the ISO that was finally straightened out. So I'm glad that was taken care of. So thanks for the follow up.
And I appreciate the work of the town for helping fix that.
Yeah,
because
it straightened that out.
Did help us clean that up.
So that meeting led to two others that the mayor and I need to get together with Clinton Rescue as well as Lebanon Fire.
Don't start laughing, Carla.
It's just when you thought that was over. Nothing to report from OEM CERT, and the event went well last Friday. I apologize for missing your call. The village of Annandale.
Yep.
And everything else is all fun stuff. So, and I'm sorry to say that the community day is closed off.
I was going to say that. Yeah. So that's okay. I have no report.
Thank you.
For me, the REC committee met and they had a lot of discussion about Community Day like a week ago. And all of it's out the window now. We're going to postpone Community Day because of the weather, probably till September. So for those who had it on your calendar, just move it out and we apologize for the inconvenience. They do have to go ahead to finally start clearing out the trees at Mount. Field of Dreams playground. So hopefully that playground will be reopened in a not too distant future. They had a fairly successful Easter egg event, Easter egg hunt. I was unable to attend.
Yes.
I think better than last year, a little bit better organized, and they have some learning from it that they'll take and use to improve, I think, going forward. The pickleball classes are all booked, and they're trying to figure out how to book more of them and add more of them, and it's just every time I drive by, it's great. Other items, I don't think that was pretty much it. Oh, Summer Rec is, he's got over 200 kids signed up.
Oh, wow.
And enough, right now, at least enough staff to cover. We'll see how he does adding to it. They had lots of good things to say about how the fields are being taken care of, so the new parks form is working out really well. I'm going to venture over to Councilwoman Switlick's realm for just a second, only because I participated in a couple of Green Team / Environmental Committee events, commission events, one of which Council President Strauss alluded to before. On Friday, we held a walkable community assessment for Annandale from up and down Beaver and out. From West Street out to Belvedere on Beaver and back, and up west to the essentially the Scooter. And it was really eye-opening. I think it was really good for the residents. We had some good conversations, some good ideas. The police representative, Sergeant Ross, did a fantastic job. So kudos to him. Also, Officer Frank Kringle. Figured I'd just distinguish him for a minute. So that went really well. We had good attendance. And then Saturday morning, the Environmental Commission, in conjunction with, I think, or at least the Green Team, one of the, or both, in conjunction with Base Camp, held a community-wide cleanup that collected, if my memory serves, 1,087 pounds of various garbage from along township roadways, only township roadways. They were, folks were not supposed to go on county and state contract. So a really great turnout. It was a pleasure. It was nice to get out and get a lot of that trash off the side of the road. And you would not believe some of the, besides tires, which I'm not too surprised by, steel girder, just a bunch of weird furniture, just a bunch of stuff. So on personnel, we've got some postings open for Public Works. I know that they're working through police department hires. So hopefully that's moving along. And then, and this was not planned, but I have a, we discussed earlier, an appointment to make for the Historic Commission. Phil Honachevsky Jr., Class A seat. So that'll be done as of, I believe, vacant Class A, formally held by Mr. Scheich. And then, Phil, you can talk to Mark and get the contact stuff. And that's all that I have, and then some. We will now move on to the resolutions. The first is a resolution to approve the hiring of a seasonal public works employee, Walter Selecki. Walter is absolutely fabulous.
Yes.
I'd make him full-time if he wanted. He does pretty much anything and everything he's asked. He's particularly handy with plumbing and buildings and ground stuff. So, Walter, great. Absolutely great. I'm going to make a motion.
Second.
Yes.
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 Next, we have a resolution approving the hiring of a seasonal public works employee, Charles Covides III. I've heard good things about Charles. I haven't interacted with him, so it won't be as glowing as it was for Walter, but comes highly recommended from not only the administrator, but Jay as well.
He's done a very good job. He was here last year. Jay brought him back. He particularly has excelled in assisting with cleanup of the trails and work there, so I think he will again be useful as we embark upon that activity this spring, summer, fall.
Very good. May I have a second?
So moved.
Oh. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Next, we have a resolution awarding an agreement for extraordinary unspecifiable services to the Canyon Group LLC to serve as administrator for 3 months, not to exceed $50,000. That's for our indefatigable Mr. Close, who's done a great job shepherding us through a little gap we've had and is excellent as an administrator, if I may say so. Does anybody have any questions, concerns? In that case, may I ask for a motion?
We'll make a motion.
Second.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. I am going to bow out. For the next resolution, so Council President Strauss, we're back up. I'm going to recuse, and just for the record, I don't think I actually have a conflict, but it's just the appearance of one, so I'm just going to out the room. Promise not to.
Okay, number six, a resolution amending and restating resolution number 65-2023 concerning the transfer of the ownership of interest in Clinton LIHTC Urban Renewal LLC to Conifer Realty LLC for the development of affordable housing on Block 82, Lot 4.04 in Meruvian Development.
So this is the resolution we adopted in last meeting. After you adopted Conifer,
they realized.
Master supporting changes.
Yes.
Just for the record, they have been sent a resolution. That's okay.
I'm shocked they approved the
So the wording changes are really minor. It doesn't alter the substance at all of the you guys are approving. It was just changes to the wording of what they're actually acknowledging and intending to be wording is totally accurate. I don't have any concerns whatsoever about the changes that they asked for.
They're the 49% owner of the LLC. So can they compel the controlled entity?
There might be.
We're unclear. They're not the majority owner, so if they say they can, I'm assuming they can. I don't believe the way the voting works in LLC. But they're signing the agreement saying they will. So
I think to whatever extent, really what they're doing is
the change makes a lot of sense. The other wording was kind of strong.
Any other question?
No.
I'll look for a move.
I'll make it.
I'll second it.
Yes.
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 Brian?
We did all sorts of distributed apps.
Good.
You change the budget again.
Third time's a charm. So we now have a resolution amending resolution number 51-2023, awarding a goods and services agreement to Karen Romano to provide day-to-day coverage in the planning department on an interim basis, increasing not to exceed $2,460. Ms. Romano did a very good job filling in for Ms. Filardo while she was out of the office and unable to perform her duties. And I think we required Ms. Romano for a little bit longer than we originally anticipated, or for at least a little bit more time, and therefore some more money. But we muddled through. The niece is back, and by and large, and we're doing great.
So this is modifying the original not to exceed, or is
correct? It's increasing the not to exceed. Yeah, it's de minimis.
Ms. Romano's recovery. After the medical is a little longer than anticipated, so we have to ask Ms. Romano to assist for an additional period of time.
Thank you. Thank you. A motion and a second.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Council President
Strauss?
Yes.
Yes. All right, next we have an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending Chapter 165, Land Use Regulations of the Code of the Township of Clinton to establish two Highlands Centers and create a Highlands Environmental Resource Zone. I understand just prior to the meeting we received confirmation from the Highlands approving this form of the ordinance. Just for the benefit of the public, the centers were actually approved by the Highlands Council in June of last year, I think it was June, July, and it was very well received by the Highlands. They had lots of praise for us and the work we were doing with them, so I think this is all good. It's really going to delineate a few areas of town where we can achieve, I think, a little bit more balance between preservation and some reasonable development.
Right, so we can have some commercial and other reasonable.
And in fairness, this was contemplated when we opted in 2015 Highlands. There was an idea of establishing these centers. It took several years to get there, and it took several tries with Highlands. It wasn't an easy process. I think there was an initial application, a revised application, made a public hearing. And so it's a well-defined process for them, because their job is to protect the Highlands, and so they were helping us balance that sustainable economic development against the environmental resource protection. And it'll get sheep's out.
The areas will be one along 31 from 78 north, just the areas adjacent to 31, as well as an area that we need to redevelop very, very sorely, the Grey Rock Road area. So that's definitely required for there.
Yeah.
And it'll also be from 31 on along Beaver, I believe it is, going up.
So Old Allerton on 31 up to the village track here on Beaver.
Yep.
At both ways, and then up kind of behind the news.
Yep.
And there is a map.
We should make sure it's posted on the website as well. We do introduce. Yeah. Any questions?
I do not. Thank you.
In that case, may I have a motion? Sure. And
the first one is
you'll have to
take care of.
We'll have to have you state your name. And
sorry about that. Julie Hirsch, Archer Bryan, PC, with Daniel Clinton, New Jersey. And I represent CRC Communities, developer of probably what will be the largest affordable housing project site between the settlement agreement and coordinator. The reason for this ordinance is it's a technical requirement of the Highlands Council, which they brought to my client's attention while they were applying for something they needed from DEP.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a deadline which would require this ordinance to come to public hearing and potential adoption of May 10th.
We typically do. Yeah.
That would be critical, because meeting after that would cause us to miss our deadline. And the other thing is the map that Ms. Beagle noted. I really would like to take a look at it if possible, and make sure before it's posted, because there was the delineation of the CRC Headwood site. First time around, the Highlands Council excluded a right-of-way to provide access to the property. Kind of critical.
Yeah.
We'd like to make sure that area is included within the center.
Yeah. So what I can do is, I'll just go there and get there if you're okay with that. You can forward it from there. I'm very soon.
That's fine, but I think it should also be posted.
Oh, no, for sure.
That's fine.
If I can open it on my phone right now, I'll look at it, and I'll see what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything confidential, but it's just really wasn't nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Unless the council has an objection.
And it looks to me that they fixed that error, because there's a little dog leg going out now.
I wasn't
out there before.
That's right.
I can show you here. I know the right way you mean, Julie. The little dog leg there. The 50,
right.
I think, at the top. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just open it up to anybody else. Anybody else wish to, in the public, wish to say anything? All right. Have questions, comments, additional from the council?
No. We can work out for a long time.
All right. May I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Blazer?
Yes.
Councilman
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So this sketch refers to planning board 15 master plan.
Correct. And without objection, we'll set the public hearing for the comments.
Yeah, and that would mean the planning board will review it next Monday. So tomorrow morning. She knows it's coming. I told her if it's introduced.
The next ordinance for introduction is actually going to be tabled. It's the Township Stormwater Management Regulations. There are some additional comments and input that we're waiting to receive back from the Highlands. So those will come and we'll make those adjustments. And also the planner is looking to ensure that any of the Sustainable Jersey Point items can get included. You can do that as well in the same ordinance. So that'll be back. I was hoping to adopt it on the 10th of May, but we'll push it off. And then we move to item 11, which is an adjustment to the Teen Challenge application for their fees and application fees and escrow.
Yeah, maybe I'll make some comments on this. This is, I'll call it a unique application. It's kind of one of the circumstances, not unheard of in the township. Teen Challenge is the residential sponsorship on Stanton Mountain Road. They have a large site, about 88 acres. The amount of the site that's developed is actually quite small. I think it's about 3% of the site. And those kind of the way our ordinance is written for application fees and escrow fees causes a bit of conflict. We have I'll simplify it vastly, a three-pronged calculation. A small fixed fee of $250. Then there's a fee based on the size of the lot. And then there's a fee based on the square footage that you're working on. Most times this works out fine, and it's wonderful. There have been occasions in the township where it's not worked out fine, and the fee to be produced, as I recall, is the wording we used the last time the service was unwarranted. There was a similar circumstance in 2016 where the Exxon facility was being, they were building the new stacks and stuff, and it was a similar situation where the calculated fee in escrow was enormous, and greatly vastly, I mean, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars, which was just outside the pale. At that time, council looked at it, agreed to the unwarranted, agreed to an adjustment. And the primary focus of the adjustment is actually sort of a simple one. Instead of in these large parcels where a small amount is developed, instead of with the entire parcel, we look at the part that's developed. So in this case, it's about 3%. So the calculated fees in this case, and I'm leaving aside anything beyond the preliminary site plan application, the final site plan application. So I'm leaving aside if there's variances that come into play or Highlands consistency reviews, that's a different part of the fee schedule. This is for the review of the applications. The calculated amounts would have been about $24,000 for the application fee, preliminary final, and the escrow would have been about $54,000 for both. This is about 8,000 square feet of improvements, some of which were made by our prior owner years ago, but the applicants, to their credit, is coming to get after-the-fact approval.
Rectifying.
And that's the biggest piece of it. I think it was 5,000 feet of the improvements, if you will. So my recommendation to council is that we make an adjustment, essentially looking at the improved area of the lot, which is significantly smaller, and using this math, and I've looked at that, the model actually prepared the applicant, it's quite reasonable and consistent what we've done in the past. The $24,000 fee becomes a more reasonable $16,500, and the escrow would be reduced from the $54,000, which, by the way, would be a huge amount of escrow for a project this size. Just basically, the escrow, again, remember, pays the fees of the township's professionals.
And this is a nonprofit.
Yeah, but that, to me, is a...
I'm just...
Yeah, it is a nonprofit, but we've done this for commercial applications.
I agree. But I'm just saying it's an additional burden for...
It is. I mean, so remember, escrow is the money they can put out up front. They would get it back if fees are included, but they'd have to put out a lot of money up front.
It
does get replenished. So the recommendation on that is we bring it down to about $67.35, which would pay for the professionals. And we have a process in the township. If they spent the money, it gets to a certain level. We have to replenish it or no work gets done. So I'm not as fussed about the escrow. I think it's more fair that the amount be more, it not be the unwarranted amount from the calculation, by strict application of the calculation. So with that, and if anyone has any questions, so. Yeah, please.
It was $1,685 for the application fee and $6,735 for the escrow. Again, exclude anything that would occur for if there's a variance request or high level reviews or what have you. That's not part of this conversation.
$1,685.
And so just to reiterate Councilman Glazer's point, Trish, could we have a past precedent for having done this?
We did.
And then the other item I would identify is that this is something that we've noted in the process that began last fall.
Right.
In looking at holistically all of our fee structure for the township for everything.
Right.
This is, I think, an item that when we update the ordinance fees and such, we'll need to try to address going forward so that we don't have to end up in this position all the time.
Yeah, it's an unusual circumstance where it's an already developed site where they're making, I'll call it a minor change to the park that's approved. So it's, I think it goes from 2.8% of the site to 3% or something. It's not like a huge, large site being developed. So it is unique and something we'll have to take into account. If there's no more discussion, I'll make a motion.
Anybody else have a question?
No.
All right.
Yeah, please.
Okay. May I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman President Strauss?
Yes.
Yes. Before we move to public comment for anything that anybody wishes to make a comment on, I just wanted to wish Councilwoman Stoker a happy birthday.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. We're hearing right, I got to pay the bills. May I have a motion to pay the bills? I meant to say that instead of the public comment.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman President Strauss?
Yes. Yes. And then, Ms. Licata, you and I will discuss with Bill at some point in the near not too distant future the Highlands.
Yeah, that's not urgent.
Yep.
Just I noticed it. I'm sorry.
All right, now we will move to the final public comment session. Are there any members of the public who'd like to make a comment?
Just a question. I'm going to need to demonstrate to Denise Gallardo that you have reduced the fees.
I was going to mention, if we could, as part of the motion, have the clerk communicate with Ms. Gallardo tomorrow so that the applicant can complete the application.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do we need to amend anything or do it over or you good?
No.
No, I meant it's sort of a request of
that. We will advise you can proceed. We'll advise you directly tomorrow.
Thank you much.
To be clear, it's only the fees associated with the site plan.
Correct.
Exactly.
Whatever other reviews, if there's a variance, if there's Highlands consistency, whatever else, it just has to do a site plan, a preliminary and final.
Yep.
And that assumes the two stay linked, which I believe they will be. It would be pretty simple.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Seeing no movement, close the public hearing and ask for Councilman Glazer to say something very important.
I motion to adjourn.
Second. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We gotta get the cheese.